Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to have a great talk about a New Age children's books. Always love these books. They are something that really takes us to the next level, where children are now engaging in the world around them, the animal kingdom. How can they see how they have compassion for each other, how they are able to heal and have health challenges, and also how humans and animals are so very similar, and can we just have love and compassion for each other as they each help us heal? Great story today. My guest is Georgiana Irvine. Today we're going to be talking about three books from San Diego Zoo Global Press, which are Rooks and Rihanna, Karen's Heart, and Fabulous Floyd. How can we reach stories to our children so that they can kind of jump into the space and feel about an animal, know how they walk, know how they are showing up in this world, know their challenges, feel compassion, and also in return receive love and healing? And isn't that a wonderful exchange? Georgiana, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Jeanette. I'm thrilled to be talking to you about these books because they're very special. Lots of special stories.
I think they are. And, you know, I always call them New Age children's books because I think it's time that we start talking about, you know, the real world. It's not frogs and princesses anymore, but it truly lightens up children's eyes when you read stories like this because they can see and feel and touch something that's real in the world, don't you think?
I absolutely think that. And the whole reason behind these books was to introduce kids to individual animals like Rooks of the cheetah or Karen the orangutan or Fabulous Floyd the flamingo,
right,
and let them get to know that particular animal in hopes that it would inspire them to care about that species, care about all other wildlife, and then help San Diego Zoo and other conservation organizations lead the fight against extinction because so many animals are in big trouble in our world.
You know, you talk to kids and you say, what would you like to be when you grow up? And kids will say, oh, would I like to have a puppy? I'd like to have a kitten. But then they go to the zoo and they're like, I would like to do that. I think it's truly about, can we bring children into a world with eyes wide open? And once you do that, it's almost like you spark something in them. Definitely your books, I mean, they're really great, especially Rooks and Reina. The book is really about a puppy and a cheetah. And when you look at that, you say that is just something you would never expect, that engagement. It's almost like, well, should we fear the power of the cheetah? Should we say they're going to hurt the puppy? Should we say that the puppy is going to, you know, how are they going to have this interaction? Yet, I think if we just trust in the process, we can say, wow, look at how intimately they grew up together, yes?
Yes, we have animal ambassadors, and that's what Rooks and Reina are. And what we found is cheetahs are very dog-like. They're considered big cats, but they're really not like lions or tigers. And they're more, their disposition is more like that of a dog, and they've got non-retractable claws. And we have found that if we do pair cheetahs and dogs when they're young, that they become best friends. And the dog is like a security blanket for the cheetah. So if we take the cheetah, like, to a television show or out to do an animal presentation, if the dog is there, the cheetah stays very calm. And so the cheetah is and dog depend on each other. And It's funny because we have this area where they can play at the zoo, and sometimes I'll walk by and we have a different dog and cheetah at the zoo, but I see visitors saying, oh my gosh, is that cheetah going to eat the dog? And then they say,
right.
No, they're best friends. They're playing together. But it is remarkable, and it's remarkable how bonded they get. And that's why in the Ruxa and Raina story, when Raina got terminal cancer, I won't give the end of the story away, but we were very concerned about how her best friend was going to react if she died on him.
Right. Because I think you can truly see how humans can interact, the patterns as humans in animals. I mean, when you look at that, just as you said, you know, are they going to eat the dog? That's really a human fear. And are we sharing our human fears that we have with our children, or are we allowing something to just blossom and see what appears? Don't you think that's a huge different story?
Yes, I do think it's a huge different story. And it is interesting how humans interpret animal behaviors. I'm trying to think of instances where I've heard parents tell their child something about the animal, like, oh, that's a gorilla. It's really
right.
fierce and really mean, like King Kong, when actually gorillas are really gentle. They're gentle giants of the forest, and they're vegetarians. And so it is interesting when parents don't get their facts right. But I think
right.
with books like these, it really inspires kids to learn about animals and learn that they do have feelings. They're not humans. I don't want to anthropomorphize,
mm-hmm.
but they think and they have friendships and they're smart, smarter than people think. Even Floyd, our flamingo, who would ever think that if you see a flock of flamingos, you go, oh my gosh, look at all those flamingos. But you don't think they have individual personalities, and they do. And Floyd is a flamingo ambassador for San Diego Zoo, so he was imprinted on humans when he was young, and he was imprinted with other flamingos. But Floyd liked to be held. He loved to be held by his trainers. The other flamingos, not so much. And he just had this different personality, which probably is why he was able to heal and survive the serious surgery that he had on his leg. But people just don't understand that. And one of the things we discovered with Floyd that surprised me was that flamingos snore and they dream. Who would ever think that? And you say, how do you know? Well, the trainer showed me a video, and they make a little honking sound when they snore. And then when they dream, their eyes twitch and their legs twitch, just like your family dog might do.
And I think this opens us up into a world that we've never really thought about before, especially, you know, when you're talking about the fabulous Floyd book about the flamingo. Just as you share that story, I would think that's something we would have never known. It's something we would have never experienced. And we would have thought, oh, those birds are beautiful. They take care of themselves. And, you know, their cycle of life is what it is. Yet you were able to help Floyd and be able to heal his legs. And I think that's so vitally important, because we say that, do animals just take care of themselves out in the wild? Well, yes, they do, but they also need some support. And it shows the story of how support can really heal. I mean, you heal an animal and you heal, you know, their way of getting around, their essence of what they are in the world. I mean, truly, that's a bond it's just incredible, yes?
Yes. Well, animals in the wild, you know, it's survival of the fittest. And we're mm-hmm. fortunate that with our animals in our zoo and safari park, that we have the most amazing veterinary staff. And these animals are precious to us. You know, it's interesting. One of the things about these books is how much our keepers and our animal trainers care about the animals and the lengths that we will go to protect and save our animals, and that's really important.
Right.
And I like to say that I may have written these books, but they're really the animal stories and the stories of our people who devote their lives to caring for these animals and others, and how much they truly love them and what they do to care for them. It's really quite mind-boggling. I think these books show the extent that we will go on behalf of the animals in our care, and they're very special to us, and you get attached to them, amazingly. And it's hard when we lose them. We had an orangutan, Janie, who was 55 years old, and we lost her to old age. But, oh my gosh, that's probably one of the hardest animal deaths I had to overcome because I was so attached to her. And her Facebook page showed it. We had like 2,000 people talking about how Janie had changed their lives. And that's quite remarkable when you think about that.
Don't you think it's also for these books are great for children who may be having some health challenges, for children who may be having something that's in their life that's a challenge. They might be having trouble at school. They might not have a great family life, or they might be going through a medical process at the time, because they can also see how support can be around, how you're able to reach out and ask for help for others, and also how there are these types of animals or people around us who we might not even think are really being our support system. It's almost like, how can you connect? The stories are teaching us different connections, don't you think?
Yes. I have started hearing from teachers. I've started hearing from parents. And let me give you an example in the Karen Orangutan book. I have an email that was sent to me, and it's, "Dear Georgianne, I just have to tell you how much my daughter and I enjoyed your newest book, Karen's Heart. I bought her the book in plush last week. We read it every night. My daughter has had 2 open heart surgeries. I was thrilled when I read that the doctor in the book also performed her daughter's surgery." And it says, "Your book has given my daughter a perspective of her surgeries that I have had difficulty explaining to her." And I've had teachers tell me that these books, and it's funny because, as I mentioned earlier, they were intended to connect kids to the animals, to enlighten them about endangered species and protecting animals. But what I found is that they are books that are teaching children about life. My mm-hmm. niece teaches children second grade in a English second language school, and she says that the kids hang on every word in the story, and if they don't have time to finish the book, the kids are hounding her to finish, and how does it end? And it's been a pleasant surprise at how much these books have affected children. I'm really happy. It just makes my day in that respect.
And also, too, I think definitely the book Karen's Heart with the orangutan, it's really, truly, you see that almost as a mothering figure, don't you think? Sometimes people will say, I really don't have that sense of feeling like loved or cared for. And when you can see it in the book Karen's Heart, it truly starts to say to children, this is what it might feel like. Sometimes kids say, you know, well, I'm missing something or I'm not feeling something in my life. And also adults still say this, you know, in the decades.
Right.
They'll say, you know, I'm
right.
looking for love, but I don't know what it is. Well, maybe you just don't know how it might show up. You might just be missing it because you didn't notice it. So sometimes really books about, you know, about a heart and orangutan is about saying, it can look like this. Wouldn't it be wonderful if it looked like this? And then they go out and they say, I see it all around. And then they start feeling that sense of a heart or of love or of compassion, don't you think?
Yes, and in Karen's Heart, her mother actually rejected her. But once we introduced her back to the orangutan family, another orangutan took her and cared for her and taught her how to become an orangutan. So even though she didn't have her mother, she had this other orangutan, and she also had our staff that cared for her. And so she had a different kind of care, not her mother, but other people who cared for her in her life. I'd like to tell you, there was a little girl. So Karen had her surgery in 1994, and Karen is now 27 years old, very healthy at the San Diego Zoo. She's our little princess. And a little girl wrote a letter to Karen. And I was in PR at the zoo at the time, and I saved this letter over all of these years and wanted to include it in the book. And it's just about a little girl, Jenny, who's 5 years old. And she says that she thinks about Karen all day because she knows how it is to be in the hospital because she has leukemia. And she said she spent a month at a children's hospital and she'll come and visit Karen as soon as she can. So we put the letter in the book and we used little Jenny Auger's artwork. And then our publisher said, well, you need to get permission to use her artwork in the book. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, this was a long time ago. And I never even looked to see if Jenny had made it through her leukemia because I was afraid to know.
Mm-hmm.
So I plugged her name into Google, and up comes Jennifer Auger, nurse, Rady's Children's Hospital in San Diego. And her bio says, when I was 5 years old, I had leukemia. I found her and I connected with her. And it made my year. And she told me that her mother told her when she was five and was diagnosed, she became very withdrawn. So her mother suggested that she write a letter to somebody else who was sick. And that somebody else was Karen Orangutan. And she said in a time of great darkness in her life, Karen brought her light. And to this day, Jenny visits Karen at the zoo often. Karen is her favorite animal. Karen has been an inspiration in her life. And the nurses who cared for Jenny inspired Jenny to become a nurse herself. And that's a story that has come full circle and something that was so unexpected yet so joyful to me in telling Karen's story.
It's an absolutely wonderful connection, I think, when you can hear a story like that, because you can almost feel it as you go through it. In other words, it just seems like it just opens up everyone's heart when you hear these stories, don't you think? And sometimes we say, how can we create this for ourselves? And it's like, how can we create this for our children? And I think really the books that we're talking about today really start to do that for kids. They're able to say, oh, I can feel more or see more, you know, and they're more excited. We don't give kids the credit that they could have compassion or want to know about it. Or if they want to know what love is all about, and they'll point to your chest and say, "What's in there? What's in there?" You know, and when they're broken, and they'll say, "Well, let me fix it. I'll give it a kiss." You know what I mean? So sometimes we say our children being so naive. I think children are really showing us the miracles that can be all around us. And your books share about miracles of the connections. I think sometimes we say, how can we bring all of that forth? And it's about reading stories like this so that you can open up. It's almost like opening up alchemy or magic or mystic in a child. And how can we connect to that? Yes?
Yes. And I'll tell you, I think in this day and age, a lot of children, because of all of the internet and tablets and phones, become disconnected with nature and life.
Yeah.
And stories like these are really, really important to show them there's more in the world. And a statistic that I found interesting, and I don't have the exact numbers, but remember there was a time when people thought that the printed book was gone, was dead.
Right.
Well, book sales are rising. Adult book sales are rising. One, because adults are tired of looking at a screen all the time. They want to hold something. And children's book sales are rising as well because parents want to have that connection with their child. They want to sit there and read that book with their child, and they want them to do something other than watch television and look on the computer or look on their phone. So I think these books help them escape to the real world, and it's a world of hope. And that's why this is called the Hope and Inspiration Collection, because the books are meant to inspire and give hope. And I think with the Karen book, I've also had letters, people saying, if my child is having open heart surgery and my child feels that if Karen is brave enough to have open heart surgery, I can do it too. And that's what these books are all about. So they offer something different today. And I like to encourage kids to get outside and play and go see animals in the wild and go to national parks with your parents and go to zoos and just experience something that's alive, because there is a wonder to that.
Absolutely. And also, too, don't you think that when children start to learn these things at a younger age and they learn to read stories like this, it encourages something in them for their life going forward. In other words, you will might find them going into zoology, or they might say, I'd like to care for animals, or just as your story, she became a nurse. And also, too, we say that others will say, let's start being able to find out how I can bring the story forward, and they want to recreate it, and they'll care for animals, or they'll go out and they'll find out more about why are animals extinct and how can we care for the land. So it really, it almost like it opens up a whole other world where they're able to say, I'd like to be part of that story, and how can I help? That's really what we're looking for in kids going forward, yes?
That is what we're looking for, and that's the whole purpose of these books, and we have, you know, many more books coming out. We can't write them fast enough. You know, they take time to put together. And one thing that's interesting about these books that makes them quite different is that they are illustrated with photos, and I've had people say to me, well, you have thousands of stories like this at the zoo, and I say, yes, we do, but we don't have them all documented from beginning to end with photographs. And that's a key to these particular stories. So I think when the kids can read about the animal and they can look at photos of all of the things that went through life, you know, every stage of it, that makes it real as well. And I think that helps inspire them. And I hope these books inspire children to love animals and want to go into science and want to become a zookeeper and do something on behalf of animals. In San Diego, we're pretty lucky because we have our zoo and safari park, and we do have wild areas around here. So we're lucky in that all second graders in our county go to the zoo. That's what you do. So we're an animal-savvy community, but not so much in other places. So I hope that these books will get out to schools and into cities where kids can escape and learn about animals and learn how magnificent they are and that we need to treasure them.
Because I think so many times people, you know, kids don't even learn about animals unless it's from older books that they've, you know, had around. Many times children, you know, in inner cities or even sometimes in the country don't get to see the unique animals that you talk about in your works. And they're like, I would love to go and do that. I'd love to go to a zoo. Many children never get to a zoo, you know. So I think the idea of now that we have the internet, they can look up something, they can pull up a story or a video, or they can follow the path of an animal on the internet these days. I mean, look at the giraffe story, you know, when was that? A few years ago, it was on the internet all the time. So I think we still are able to have connections with animals, even though they're not in our backyard, right?
Well, you can, I'll tell you, the internet is wonderful. You can connect with animals by watching them, but honestly, seeing them up close, having a child stand near a giraffe to see how tall it is and smelling them and hearing them. So I think if you can't see them, you know, in the fur, in the feathers,
right?
Yes, by all means. And there are lots of live animal cams. We, on our San Diego Zoo website, we have cams that show people what many of our species are doing. And what we found is that those cams inspire people to come and see those particular animals. So I think, yes, if you can't go see them, by all means, watch videos. But there really is something about being close to them and looking at a rhino and being up close and counting the eyelashes and, you know, looking at the size, the magnificence of elephants. So I think it's good for them to see everything and learn about them. But then they really, if they've got that opportunity, parents, please, you know, take your children to see animals. It's just magnificent. I had some VIPs at the zoo once, and we were taking them to see Floyd and the other flamingos. And it was an opportunity to go inside and feed the flamingos and sit by them. And these people said to me, oh, my God, we don't like flamingos. They smell and they're just birds. And I said, please trust me. Just trust me. And they said, okay, we'll go in. We'll see them. When they were finished, they said, oh, my goodness, I had no idea that flamingos were so magnificent. They are now our favorite animals. And so it totally transformed these people who had not had the best opinion of flamingos, and then they saw them up close, and it changed their opinions. And so that's the type of thing I hope that these books will do for children as well, bring them closer to animals and see that animals are individuals and animals are important to the world.
Right, because I think your books really change the views that adults are holding and open up their children to be able to go out and explore. You know, so many times people will say, I'm afraid, I don't know, I'm not going to go, I had a bad experience. And really, your books are sharing, it's a fantastic place. Let's try it again. Let's see it from a different angle. Let's explore it in a different way. And that's what we're really trying to say is, how can we get out and enjoy and engage in the animal kingdom, right?
I absolutely agree. And if people have had bad experiences, zoos are changing, and zoos are conservation organizations doing work all over the world. And our animals are ambassadors to their wild cousins, and zoos are improving exhibits. But San Diego Zoo, for example, is doing conservation work on 6 continents, you know, in 50 different countries. And so we are doing lots of work. And when people visit our zoo, we're nonprofit. They are helping us care for animals and protect them in the wild as well. So even if people have not had the most positive experience, I think they need to try again and go with open eyes and understand what an important place zoos have in the world. We need zoos because all zoos that are in the Association of Zoos and Aquariums are doing work around the world to save animals. And the people that visit us help support us.
Right. And in closing, Georgianne, I think that's truly bringing us full circle to our story, is that when children have their eyes wide open and they can really show us the magic of the world around us, then we are able to say, I can change my view. I see something differently. Wow, I never noticed that before. And it's really about being able to open everyone's hearts to, you know, joy or compassion or love or caring or even just being present and be able to see what's in front of you and reach out. I think that's the true story, yes?
Children are our future. Children are the future of our planet. And children do see things with open eyes, and they do notice things that adults don't notice. And I think that if adults can and see the world through the eyes of a child and see that there are good things in it, especially in this day and age, I think that it will make the world a better place. But we have to listen to our kids and look at the world through their eyes, the joyous things that they see, and you know, focus on that.
Absolutely. And it really, I mean, they're great stories. I myself, you know, have not visited a zoo since I don't know when. And it's definitely something that would encourage you to be able to want to get out and share and to see a zoo in your local area. So really encourage. These books are not just for very young children. They are for children of all ages and for adults. And I think also as adults read the stories, they'll say, you know what, I think I'm going to go out and take someone. I'll find someone to go to the zoo with me. I want to see what this experience is all about, right?
Yes, and they just need to know how much that the people who work for the zoo love what they're doing, love their animals, just would do anything for their animals. And I think that's what these books show as well.
Yeah, I know a lot of times people will say, I want to go volunteer somewhere. I want to, I will go down to, you know, the pet shelter or whatever. And sometimes they say, we don't need any more volunteers this week. We're full. Well, maybe you can check out your zoo and maybe there's something there that you can just wander around and see how you can help them also. Yes.
Many, many zoos have volunteer programs. San Diego Zoo has an incredible volunteer program, and they are just so important to everything that we do, from, you know, giving information and telling people where exhibits are to helping us when we needed to imprint Floyd on humans. We had volunteers helping us because the keepers couldn't spend all the time doing that. I mean, usually it's not work with animals at our zoo, but I know that most zoos have volunteer programs and they welcome people to come and help them. And I do encourage people to get out to the animal shelters and see if there's anything they can do to help or support zoos with donations or animal shelters with donations. I mean, there are just so many things that people can do. And it really fills your heart. When I used to chat with college students, I said, you need a cause. You need something that makes you feel good about life, that you are making a difference. You can have your career, and I'm lucky that my career has been helping animals all the time I've been at San Diego Zoo, but I feel that people need a cause in their heart, and that will make their lives better because they'll know they're doing good in the world. So everybody needs their own cause, whatever it is, whether it's volunteering or donating or helping a children's hospital. People need a cause where they feel fulfilled.
It is just an incredible story, I think, when we spoke today, Georgianne, about these books about Karen's Heart, Rooksa and Raina, and Fabulous Floyd about an orangutan, a cheetah, and also a flamingo. I think sometimes these stories, they just want to warm your heart. And I thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure being on your show. I love talking to you, and I hope the listeners take a look at the books. I hope lots of people read them because there's some important messages in these books.
Can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about the books and all of your work at the zoo?
Yes, if they would like to purchase the books, they can go to shopzoo.com, or they can also purchase them on Amazon, and we are starting to distribute to independent bookstores. And if they want to know more about San Diego Zoo and watch some of our animal cams, they can go to sandiegozoo.org.
Wow.
SanDiegoZoo.org. But also one thing with the books, we have plush animals that we've created for the book, so it's pretty special. We have a Floyd flamingo who has a Band-Aid on his leg, and kids can cuddle these animals while they read the books, which is pretty special. And they can find those on ShopZoo.com as well.
Well, Georgianne, it was such a pleasure to speak with you today about this story because I love New Age children's books because I really want to encourage children to say, let's something we can do together. You know, it's let's go out and let's check out this story. Let's touch and feel and find, a new adventure. And definitely all of your books really deliver on that message.
Thank you. I hope they do bring families together and inspire them to do activities together. Do activities outdoors together.
Right.
It's important.
Absolutely. Well, Georgianne, thank you so much for joining us today. It was such a pleasure.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family. Clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.